So I'm throwing you a curveball again. We're actually going to be looking in Matthew chapter 14. So I hope I hear all the sound of all those Bibles flipping back to the right page from where it was. Matthew 14, I'm going to read verse 13. Start from there. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. I love walking. You probably see me, especially if you live in this neighborhood. In fact, I know Barb already this morning mentioned seeing me the other day walking. I love walking. It's one of my favorite things to do. It may seem like something simple, and perhaps it is, but I try not to take it for granted. And walking outside is something that I really enjoy, but especially over the last few years, being with Katie, it's something that has taken on a new meaning for me. And that's because, you see, Katie is the biggest animal lover I have ever met. And so she is constantly on the lookout when we're out walking for everyone's dogs or cats or whatever that might be lost, because she loves them so much. Now, I don't know what it's like maybe in your part of the world where you live, but here in our neighborhood, if a dog gets out, it's usually not on purpose. And so whenever we're walking, our eyes are open. I have been out calling out the names of dogs at 9 or 10 o'clock. I have led dogs home via almost a trail of treats. I have taken multiple dogs home only to find out that they don't have a home, and now it's my responsibility to find them a new home, which we've done successfully. I have met my neighbor for the first time while she was in a towel, fresh out of the shower, bringing her dog back to her. I don't know why she answered the door. Maybe she saw the dog. There have been multiple occasions of near misses where I'm pretty sure I had to talk Katie out of stealing someone's dog that was in their yard. Katie, that's their dog. Don't go. I'm pretty sure they live there. And once I even FaceTimed a neighbor down here on Brush Hill Road whose dog got out, and I called the number on the caller, and she said, "Well, FaceTime me. I'll show you where my spare key is going into my house and let him back in." I said, "If you're okay with this, I am too." So that's how I got to meet my lovely neighbor down here on Brush Hill Road. So if you don't like your dog and you let it on purpose, make sure it's not in this neighborhood, because we will find you and we will get it back to you. But why does Katie do this? Why does Katie do this? Where some people see a bunch of dogs or animals, Katie sees them for who they are. She sees them by their name or whatever. When you see my dog out walking, you don't just see, "Oh, that's that husky mix." No, that's Nana. That's our dog. She has a personality. She is important. And Katie's heart just beats with compassion for animals. And she reminds me all the time that when we see a situation in which we could help, in which we could do something, that we can't just say, "Oh, it'll be someone else's, you know, someone else will come along, they'll take care of it." But that when we come along a situation where we can act and do something, that it's our responsibility to do what we can to help. And when we read this passage, we see Jesus, how he's interacting with this great crowd in front of him who've come out to hear him and to find themselves healed by him. And the text says that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. We read about how we see all these thousands of people, and he looked out and he had compassion. That word means being moved in your inner spirit, moved in your gut. It's like being gut punched, as we say sometimes. That he saw the people and something within him moved. He connected with them. And so he gave his time and he healed them. And when supper time snuck up on them and they were far away from everything, and it was brought up to him, he wanted to do something about it. He didn't want them to have to leave. And so he looked to his disciples and said, "You go and feed them." But his disciples, on the other hand, react oftentimes like I do when I see a dog or an animal out there. Oh, maybe Katie hadn't seen him yet. Maybe we can turn down a different road, you know, so we don't have to deal with it. The disciples reacted a little differently. "Jesus, it's late. We're in the middle of nowhere. Send these people away so that they can go buy food for themselves." And perhaps that's a reasonable request. We aren't told a lot about this crowd. Maybe they could have gone and done that. Maybe knowing a little more about these times, knowing that their society was a little different than ours, that was probably a bit harder task than it is today. But what really struck me as I read this passage was just about the space that the disciples and Jesus had with between these people. Jesus wanted them to come closer, and the disciples wanted to send them away. And what I've noticed within myself and others is that we tend to act like the disciples so often when it comes to seeing those in our world that are hungry or hurting or in situations that are seem like they're above and beyond us. Sometimes we don't want to be bothered. We're too busy tending to our own agendas or our own things that we have going on in our lives. We so often want to isolate ourselves or insulate ourselves from those that are hurting around us. I think about how our city, just a month or two ago, had the NFL draft here. And as the NFL draft approached, you may have noticed if you drove down Ellington Parkway and got on into the city from this neighborhood, you may have noticed that one of the most visible places in our city where the homeless live is right there under those ramps. And what happened as the draft kept creeping closer? Well, those people were forcibly removed. They couldn't stay there anymore. They had to leave. And now, I just think the timing of that is interesting. They who had been there for however long, maybe they're trespassing, maybe not, I'm not sure all those details. But I do know that as the draft crept closer, that I think we as a city did not want our fancy visitors coming to town and seeing that part of our city. Seeing a part of our city that maybe we aren't the most proud of. We like to isolate ourselves or insulate ourselves or say to ourselves, That situation, that's someone else's problem. And maybe we do this because we're not sure how to help. Maybe we do this because the problem seems too big. We see this crowd and we're not sure what to do about it. We don't know what to do. And like the disciples, maybe we look on there and look around and say, "Well, you know what? I only have this is all I got here. I don't know what to do." And as I think about that, I think about one of the ministries we do here at this church, Room in the Inn. And what I love about Room in the Inn, you know, if you look at Room in the Inn today, you remember how you look and you see that it is a ministry that involves 200 different organizations, 200 congregations and organizations just like ours that go out and house the homeless, people experiencing homelessness each night. If you go downtown, and I know many of us have been downtown to the campus down there, you'll see that it includes apartments. It includes an emergency shelter, an art studio, showers, laundry facilities, an industrial kitchen, classrooms where clients can learn about all kinds of things from making a resume to interview skills. And as we look at all that Room in the Inn is now, I can't help but think about years ago when many of you here in this congregation remember how Room in the Inn got started. How all it took was for one Catholic priest, Father Strobel, who recognized that just outside his doors were people experiencing hard times and homelessness. And they were there and they would meet up there. And before long, he looked out there and he said, "You know what? What can I do?" And so he went back into his home and he pulled out some bread and some peanut butter and jelly and slapped them together and went out to offer them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It wasn't long after that that after getting to know them, he invited them into his church building, and there they stayed. And it wasn't long after that that he contacted the first churches, and that first winter, four churches stood up and said, "We too will take some people in and invite them into our home so that they don't have to spend it outside. And if we remember that all of this that we see today, that our very roots doing Room in the Inn here at this church, and the same roots of 200 plus other organizations and everything you see downtown came from a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it makes me think about maybe what we need isn't more stuff. Maybe what we need is just a little more compassion. Is to reduce that space in between those that are hurting and in need and ourselves. To not take that different way home when we see that animal that's in need, or we see those people that might be in need. And I wonder to myself, how can we do this? Because I'm like you all. I don't want to be bothered a lot of times. I don't want to have my day interrupted sometimes with situations and things that seem beyond me. And I think as I read this passage that a clue might be found near the end in what Jesus did. What we see there at the end, we notice that when Jesus gathered the disciples together and the thousands of other people, he took bread, and after giving thanks to it, he broke it, and he broke the loaves and he gave them to the people. And for those of us that have been around this church thing for a few years, you may recognize that that sounds to me an awful lot like communion. An awful lot like communion. And when I think about communion, I think about how in communion we recognize that God has fellowship, God has relationship with us. And what we see in the beauty of communion is that when Jesus breaks the bread and he pours the cup and he hands them to them, he says, "This is my body that's been broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you." And what we recognize through that act and through the greater act of Jesus giving his life for us is that Jesus doesn't separate himself. He doesn't isolate himself from us when we're hurting. He doesn't insulate himself. God doesn't insulate himself from the problems of the world, but yet he meets us where we are. That God's love doesn't come to us when we've got it all together, but his love comes to us when we're at the bottom, when we're in need of it. And he meets us where we are, and he welcomes us in. That every time we celebrate communion here at this church or wherever are, you celebrate the fact that God is not separate from the hurting of the broken of the world, but that he meets us in the broken bread and the cup that is shared, because that is his body and his blood that is shed for you. And so I think that the Lord is speaking to me, has been speaking a lot to me and speaking to all of us about what kind of space do we like to put in between ourselves and the situations that seem above us. And you know, as I prepared our children's message this morning, and you know, I almost kind of like that it was just Cora. You know, there's something special about having that one-on-one interaction with her, because I think so often we can look at people in situations like crowds. It's so big, and we forget that, you know what, maybe compassion just starts with one person. Maybe it just starts with handing that sandwich to that one person on the street. Maybe it starts with that one dog that we return back to its home so that its owners can recognize that we care about them. Maybe it starts with that one way, that one card that you decide to send, or that one prayer that you lift up for that one person. Maybe the problem isn't things are so big that we can't handle it. Maybe we just need to start with God meeting us where we are and then us reaching out and reducing that space between us and other people. And I think when we remember what Christ has done for us, how he reduced that space between us so that we can know him and know his love, we might find it within our hearts to do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you now remembering how you love us. God, I think we're really tempted in so many ways to divide ourselves up as people, to look at the people that are different than us and think that we are nothing like them, or we're tempted to think that the problems of this world are someone else's obligation to do. Lord, I pray that you would lead us by your Spirit to have compassion for others. Lord, that as your Spirit guides us and reaches into our hearts to recognize how you looked upon us with compassion and love, and how you are calling us to do the same with others. Lord, that you want us to feed your people just like you commanded the disciples so long ago. that with you there is truly enough. Lord, I think so often we look at things like they're too big for us, but maybe, Lord, you're calling us to see that in you there is abundance. That when we offer up to you our very selves, Lord, as you have offered yourself to us, that, Lord, you will show us how we can serve and connect to people. And God, we need that as a church because we need to be refreshed by love. We need to reach out to one another here in this sanctuary, Lord, and remember that it is truly about loving one another and loving the people in this world. And so, God, we pray that we would be led by your example. We pray that our hearts would be plowed up, God, and that you would plant seeds of new life within them. That you would give us vision for the just indescribable, wonderful gift that an individual person is. Lord, that we would look beyond what their situation is in their life. Lord, that we would look beyond, God, all their external characteristics, God, but that we would see them with your very eyes as you look down and see us as someone that you love and is of priceless value. In Jesus we pray, amen. As we get ready to sing our final hymn here, and Michael, I hope you can find it, I just want to encourage you all to consider the people and the situations that maybe you've been putting at a distance, that maybe you have been struggling to find it in your heart to offer some compassion to. And I pray that maybe you'd use this time to remember how God has offered compassion to you, and that together we might sit down and discuss as a church how we can reach out to people around us in greater and greater love. Amen.